Welcome to Zuma Worldwide's Health Education Conference Call. This recording is for educational purposes only. The name brand products referenced are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or mitigate any disease or illness. Health testimonies represent the personal experiences of the individuals and should not be viewed as medical advice. Please enjoy today's call.
For those of you tuning in tonight, I think you're going to like this topic. This is one that, personally, I didn't dive into until just a few years ago, and when I did, pretty fascinated at what I learned about this particular topic. And tonight I get to spend some time with a lady who's a member of Zuma's Scientific Advisory Board. She's also a holistic health practitioner. In fact, she's a naturopathic doctor, has her own practice right there in the great state of Georgia, the Olive Leaf. And she works each and every week with folks all around, not just Georgia, but around the country, helping them achieve more abundant health. I'm proud to say that she incorporates some of Zuma's products into her practice, but also has a lot of great wisdom and knowledge to share. Of course, I'm talking about our very own Dr. Melissa Bennett. So, Dr. Missy, are you out there with me?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
I can. It's great to have you on tonight. I appreciate you being here.
Me too. What a day. I tell you, my practice just exploded all of a sudden. It's a good thing. You know, in practice, you go through, it's kind of like mountains, kind of a little slow, and then it gets busy, and it gets slow, and then I don't know what happened, but it just went into a great place, but it's just crazy, because you have a lot of stuff. It's kind of like whack-a-mole.
Must be sowing a lot of good seeds then, because the only way these days any business expands and grows is when you're doing the right thing by a lot of people, so I'm sure that's the reason why your business exploded this week.
It's amazing. I have a cardiologist who owns all of the Georgia health clinics in Georgia, and I just have such favor with this man. I'll be at a meeting with other like doctors, medical doctors, and he'll just come in and he'll be like, Dr. Melissa, I'm just so honored to have you here. And then today I met with him. We were talking about a patient, and he's like, I want to like put you in my magazine that he has, and he wants to not charge me, but just put me there, because he goes, we really, all the medical doctors, they don't do anything as far as from a natural perspective to help their patients. And so he wants to refer me out to like 50 different doctors. And I was like, this is crazy, but it's awesome to be in that place like that. So I just,
yeah, that's an honor. And that underscores, for those of you listening tonight, that underscores, I mean, if you really pay attention to what Dr. Melissa just said, this underscores why it's so important for you to gain information like you're hearing tonight, because sadly, it's not their fault, but sadly, a lot of doctors in the traditional medical industry cannot teach and advise people on the kind of things that you hear on tonight's call, because they've just never been trained on it. Yeah, I say this all the time, Dr. Melissa, when we go to a health care practitioner, it depends on what they've been taught. Whatever they've been taught, they become an expert in, of course, and they can advise us in. But if they've never been taught something, especially if they've never been taught a lot of the holistic, normal, natural health practices like you have, then it's hard for them to give any advice on it because they don't have the knowledge. And so I think it's awesome that there are some traditional docs that are also wanting to connect with you, because that's a great compliment.
Oh, it really is. And, you know, you really want to go, if you want to go to these doctors that are specialists, like if they're in their box, but they're specialists in whatever they're treating, like a heart doctor. I know I took my aunt to the heart doctor, and she's like, she was asking him about her lungs, and he's like, I don't handle that because you've got to go over to the lung doctor. So it's kind of like they're specialists in their area, and that's a good thing for the patient. And at the same time, it's becoming a lot more acceptable to have co-managing of patients, which is what I do with a lot of these doctors, because I just love to help them. Plus, it's the insurance model, right? You just don't have time with your doctor to go in and sit with them, and I get to spend a lot of time with my patients, which is really nice. And so tonight we're going to really dive in to one of the most powerful ways we can uncover food sensitivities. And, you know, you can do food sensitivity testing. In fact, I do a lot of that in my practice, like at the Olive Leaf. I love it. I mean, you can check someone's, you know, blood and basically find out what's going on if they're having several different types of reactions to that. But sometimes you know, people just really want that. They'll come into the office, they'll be like, hey, I want a food sensitivity test. And I had a problem, though, for so many years. You know, I've been doing this for like 20 years, and I had a problem with food sensitivity testing because you could take it on Monday, some of these tests, and then on Friday take it again, and you'd get a different result, so you couldn't replicate it, and that was frustrating. But now I've got several labs. I think they've just really improved over the years, and I can do a food sensitivity test and, you know, get good results. But, you know, we always have to think about some people come in and they can afford to do the food sensitivity testing because it runs around, you know, sometimes $350 to $500. But if they can't do that, or if they just want to be more proactive, I'll definitely put them on what I call a food elimination diet. And, you know, food elimination diets, people are like, oh, I don't know. I don't know if I want to do that, because it's something that you hear about, and you, if you don't know what it is, you're just sitting there going, I don't know if this is something I want to do, because it sounds like you're going to be taking away things that I like. But if you do it, it's actually a really good way to reset your metabolism. You can renew your energy, and you can do that in about 21 days. So I provide this for my patients, and I just get unbelievable, amazing results just from doing the 21 days. And like I said, if you don't know what an elimination diet is, it can seem like really intimidating. And when you think, I've said this before, Ken, food is really the only thing we truly control in our lives. If you really think about it, food is a big thing. I think that's why in the Bible, it talks about fasting and depriving yourself for a short term, because it's just one of those things that we can choose to let go of or choose to hold on to. And when someone tells you you need to let go of something you really love in the short term, you can get a little bit protected of that. And you can say things like, you know, I eliminated donuts, I eliminated pizza, and I eliminated ice cream, and then I eliminated the diet because I didn't want to follow it. I don't want to follow it anymore, because these are things we love. They raise our dopamine, and a lot of people are really hooked on that dopamine response from the food. And you know what? I honestly don't even want to call this a diet, because it's not just another diet. When you really do something where you're taking food out, you're doing a true detoxification protocol. And it's a detox and you're using it as a way to discover, it's like a tool for your health. So you're going to learn what foods might be silently like triggering things like inflammation, which I've spoke on before, and fatigue or brain fog, and you're going to really feel vibrant again by eating really real clean food. And in fact, I was just about to do an IG post about people going on a 7-day vacation with me, like a detoxification for seven days, and I'm waiting on people to do it. I don't know if I'll get anyone that will sign up with me, but I just thought, oh, that would be fun to do. You know, just anyone can do 7 days. But when you're really looking at a true detoxification program using more of a food elimination approach, you're going to get results. There's just no way that you can't. And in fact, I went to this place called Wildwood in Georgia last week. I took a little road trip for 2 hours. And you go there, and basically they feed you like whole plant and plant-based food for like 25 days. And a lot of the diseases that people go in with, they come out and they don't have them anymore. So they've reset themselves, which I think was so amazing. I want to go up and actually stay a day and film it for people, because, you know, how often can you have someone actually make the food for you? Because that's the hardest part. And, you know, when you think about foods, you always think about allergies. And a lot of times as a child, you know, people would go in, or even as adults, they'll get the little needle, you know, pinpricks in the back, and it'll show the environmental and the food sensitivities that they have. But they're looking at something called an IgE response. It's like an immediate, I'm sorry, I've got them mixed up. It's either IgE or IgG. You're looking at the response that's immediate when you do that. But a lot of people have what's known as delayed food allergies. So delayed food allergies, basically, you may not realize it until you take it out, and then you go for a little bit, and you're like, you know what? I feel better. I'm not having that headache or I'm not having that pain. And Ken, have you ever heard someone say that? Like, I'm eating healthy, but I still feel off, even when they're eating healthy?
Yeah, in fact, this is funny because I, you know, I'm pretty health conscious. And for me personally, even when I think I'm eating healthy, there are a few trigger foods that I know now. I didn't know back then until I kind of got a little bit smarter on this topic. But I remember thinking, I'm eating healthy. Why am I not feeling so awesome? And it turned out, even me, I had some trigger foods that I thought, you know, I was doing a good job by taking good healthy eating habits. But yeah, my body has definitely responded not so positively to certain things, for sure.
Isn't that amazing too? And it's like you'll have certain foods that you think, wow, that should be good for me, but when you remove it, that's just like that's where you get the best results. Normally, it's not the healthy foods that are the problem, though. It's the other foods that we run into that could cause it, but that's where the elimination diet really shines, because it's like pressing a reset button on your system so that you can just finally figure out what's holding you back. And so when you look at a standard elimination diet, you want to remove the five like most common food triggers for about 3 weeks, and those things are dairy, gluten, the added sugars, caffeine, alcohol, soy, and processed food. Basically everything we eat. It's all gone. It's like
basically the standard modern American diet, yes.
It just disappears. And then for 21 days, you're going to focus on fresh, whole, like God-made foods, like the fruits, non-starchy veggies, the lean proteins from the wild-caught fish, or organic poultry, you know, the healthy fats like the olive oil, the avocado, and the gluten-free grains like brown rice, you know, or quinoa. And you're going to eat 3 meals a day and drink about 64 to 80 ounces of water. And that's going to give you kind of your digestive system needs to rest. That's why we always say don't eat so late at night, because really your body's in a repair mode, right, when you're sleeping. So you want to give it like, you know, 3 hours, take a walk after you eat, just give your body a chance to digest food. So when you're doing a food elimination, you're going to be eating these healthy foods, but you're still going to eat 3 meals a day and then just give yourself a rest between meals. And if you're one of those people that like to snack throughout the day, I don't have a problem with that as long as you're staying on the foods that are actually permitted. And this is a good question, too, for you, Ken, and for the listeners as well. Why do you think giving your body a break from certain foods can help improve your energy and your focus?
You know, that's a great question. I know the answer to that one because for me personally, when I figured out what was triggering me food-wise that my body just didn't like, I noticed that when I got rid of those, suddenly, as you're probably going to talk about, my gut health improved, and I know that there's such a thing as the gut-brain connection. And it's amazing when your gut is not bogged down with foods that bother you, you suddenly feel a lot better and you feel a lot more clear-headed, that's for sure.
And, you know, again, back to in the Bible, you know, about fasting, right? I mean, it's kind of like you're getting everything out of the way so your body and your mind can line up and be clear so you can hear from the Holy Spirit, or you can just really get into a place where you're not being influenced, especially now, by all the chemicals that are in our food, because that's not, we have, you know, they didn't have to deal with that back in the day, but we have to deal with that all the time. So we're always having to kind of, you need to take a break from that so your body can regenerate. And that's the two things that you're looking at. You're looking at, okay, your gut health, but you're also your immune system, because the body finally has a chance to heal and rebalance. So you'll see that the immune system starts to improve once you take out things that could be causing an extra stress on the body. And then, you know, you go through the phase of taking out all the bad things, you're putting in the good things, and then the most important part of this is called the reintroduction phase. So after 21 days, you're going to start adding the foods back in, but the key to doing this is adding them in one at a time. And you could start with dairy, gluten, whichever one you want to put in there, and see how you feel for like 48 hours. Like, give yourself 2 days. Now, when I do a program in my office called Shape Reclaimed, and when I put people through low inflammatory programs and I start reintroducing foods, I'm looking at a 2-pound weight gain per day. So if they eat something and they gain 2 pounds, well, I know they haven't gained 2 pounds of fat, right? But they have gained some inflammation. So I'll tell them, hey, take that food back out again so you don't need it, and then we'll reintroduce it a little bit later. But if you notice when you're doing an elimination program, if you notice symptoms like bloating or fatigue or mood swings, joint pain, or even anxiety, like you were just talking about the emotional component, that's your body's way of saying, hey, this food is not serving me right now. And then you're going to really take that food out, but you're going to leave it out a really long time. I'm talking like 3 months, because if you're seeing it, and that's what I would do with a food sensitivity test, if it comes back and it's a mild reaction, I would take it out 3 months. If it's a moderate reaction, 6 months, and if it's severe, it would be like 9 months. But when we're doing a food elimination program, we don't really know. We can't gauge how bad the reaction is. So we're going to start with that three-month window where if you've eaten something, when you put it back in and you're like, man, I don't feel right, you're going to take it out for 3 months and then reintroduce it again. And I think even, you know, Ken, even people don't realize that foods not only affect their energy and their mood, but they can even, it can even affect your sleep, because some people don't do well with sleep, even if, and they can't relate it back to the food. Have you ever seen that happen?
Yeah, I have. In fact, one of the things that I know about me personally, and you kind of hit it earlier because you were saying, you know, when you eat later in the evening, it definitely affects your sleep cycle. That I can attest to 100%. I think probably most people can, if they're in tune with their body. You know, if they eat too late in the evening and then go to bed shortly thereafter, mm-hmm. It can really mess up your sleep cycle. But for me personally, and this is one that especially now that we're coming into what is known as the holiday season, I find myself forgetting this a lot. And that is, you know, oh, there's this delicious dessert. You know, let's have dinner and let's have this delicious dessert. And it's that sugar, yeah. Man. If I eat anything that's loaded with sugar as the final thing I put in my body food-wise that day, I pay for it that night. I know I don't sleep as well as I should. So, yeah, for me, it's anything that's loaded with sugar. That really messes with me.
And that now that you're saying that, a lot of a lot of women specifically, if they're going through perimenopause or menopause, they can develop hypoglycemia at night. So you'll find that they wake up in the middle of the night because their sugar crashes. So that's where the food has totally come in and affected them along with their hormones. And they, you know, you change the food a little bit and you can hopefully help offset that, which is so important, because that's a pain if someone's going through that time of their life and they could change a little bit of what they're eating. And then all of a sudden it helps them navigate that a lot better. And, you know, the other thing that people have to remember about this food elimination, because of the word elimination, it just sounds like everything's gone. But there's so many good things that you're going to be able to eat during that time. So it's not about your deprivation. It's about, you want to look at it like it's a rediscovery. So you get to enjoy, like, the colorful fruits, like berries, melons, apples, papaya. You can have usually as many vegetables as you want, from like green leafy vegetables, cauliflower, to sweet potatoes, to squash. You can have your healthy fats, which is nuts, seeds, olive oils, avocados. And you can have usually your fish and some grass-fed poultry and plant proteins like lentils or chickpeas. And you also get to have herbal teas like coconut water, anything that's caffeine-free. And, you know, you just want to kind of look at this as a way of resetting yourself, but you're not depriving yourself. And in my practice, and I'm just letting people know, I don't charge very much. It's like $50, but I can send someone a specific app where it'll give them an entire or 21 days of a food elimination program, and it gives them recipes. It'll give them like anything they need of the shopping list and exactly how to do it so that they're not winging it, because winging it, sometimes you just don't follow through. But when I give this to my patients, they do so well on it. So I'm actually offering it to you guys. If anyone's interested in that, they can just reach out to us at the Olive Leaf. And, you know, another thing, when you're on these, have you done a food elimination diet before? And if you could like pick one thing that you really started to crave again, like when you're doing it, was there anything specific that you liked that was like a clean meal?
So what's interesting is I used to crave a lot of different things that I knew were not healthy for me. But I found that as I started getting better at eating cleaner and eating healthier, a lot of those cravings went away, but that was an adjustment period. It took time for that. So I guess by default, maybe I didn't realize it at the time, but I was eliminating foods that I considered not so great or not so healthy. I was adhering to a healthier diet in a lot of areas, and I noticed as I did more of that and didn't. Here's a great example. I mean, and this is one I bet you everybody could relate to. When I was not being as good to myself, it wasn't uncommon for me to get fast food once a week. And I justified it saying, well, you know, and I didn't realize that I probably craved that because, you know, fast food typically has a crave factor to it, especially if they have really good French fries at your fast food restaurant. But it's interesting when you eliminate that out of your diet, suddenly, you know, over time, your body just doesn't crave it anymore. And like now, you could put, you know, my former favorite fast food French fries in front of me, and I could pass without a problem. But you're right. In the midst of that, it can be tough. But man, when I eliminate it, it's funny how your body starts to adjust.
It does. And I don't know, there was a documentary years and years ago about the guy that ate like McDonald's. And when he first started it, he was just going to eat McDonald's for so many days. And he actually, it was making him not feel well, but at the same time, he was craving it at the same time. So the more he ate it, the more he craved it. And that's what our bodies usually will do. It'll crave what you're allergic to. So it's so weird because our body wants it, even though it's bad, which I have no idea why it does that. I wish I could answer that question. But it's one of those things that when you totally take it out, then your body says, hey, I don't really want that anymore, and you will not gravitate toward it. And another thing that people have to realize when they think of food elimination, they always think, well, I'm not going to be able to eat. But actually, the plan isn't about eating less. It's actually encouraged to eat until you're satisfied. So if you need more, you can always add in more. You're not like trying to eliminate the amount you're eating. You're just eliminating, like you're talking about, the bad stuff that you could be eating. So people sometimes ask, they'll say, hey, well, I go hungry. And I'm like, no, not if you're eating enough whole foods and protein, because the protein is very satisfying. And you know, for vegetarians, they can get proteins from different sources as well. But you got to have the protein in there to keep the satiety. And some people say, you know, do I have to follow like an exact meal plan? No, you can swap out recipes. I don't have a problem with that. I do like the app that I use because I like to have things structured for patients so they're not having to figure it out on their own. But if they really don't want something, they can always swap it out for something else. And if they mess up, you know, people are always like, oh, what if I slip up? And I'm like, no, it's okay. You just need to pick up where you left off, and healing's not about perfection. It's about consistency. So you can't do it. Sometimes you can't do it perfect. You might run into a place where you're in that 21 days and you're like, wow, here's Thanksgiving. You've got to eat. So I always like give people a pass for that. It's like a hall pass. I'm like, you can eat on those holidays. Not a problem, but it is about being consistent. And the way to be consistent is to plan ahead. So you get the shopping list, and a week before the event, you get everything ready, and you want to stay hydrated, obviously, with our X2O water. That's really, really important because you're going to get those trace minerals. You're going to get that pH balanced while you're doing this, and you want to meal prep. You want to cook extra portions so that you'll have quick lunches, because that's the problem. You know, you're out and about, and you're on a food elimination, and you don't have anything, and you're driving by a place, your body's going to say, oh, I really want to get that over there. But if you have it on hand, that's not going to be as easy. And another thing is keeping a food journal and write how you feel after you eat something. Your body's feedback is like going to tell you exactly if you want to keep that food into your diet or let it go. And that's why I like the Well World app, because I can track someone's like digestive system, how often they're going to the bathroom, how much water they're drinking, how much sleep they're getting, and like six other things. So I'm able to keep up with what's going on. And you know, I think tracking, honestly, if I look at the whole thing, the tracking and journaling is so important. And, you know, did you do that, Ken, when you were doing it, or did you just do it without having to track things, or did you write anything down, or how did you go about doing it?
No, it's a good question. Actually, we did this with my wife, Kathy, because we noticed, like, we would, she's a great cook, and she would make some great meals. We noticed, like, literally after 80% of the meals that she would cook, like, immediately she would sneeze, not once, but, like, multiple times, almost like an allergic reaction. So I would be sitting right there. We were actually trying to journal and track, like, okay, what did you cook tonight? What was in the food, right? And why, you know, are you sneezing? And so what we found out, this was interesting, we found out, or we kind of thought it was having to do with either black pepper or cayenne pepper, because she used a lot of both in the cooking that she was doing. So sure enough, we did one of these food sensitivity tests a couple years ago for her, and sure enough, like right at the top of her allergy list, was black pepper and cayenne pepper. It was like, but it was validating, at least, because we were doing kind of what you were suggesting. We're journaling it, trying to figure out, okay, what was in that food that made you sneeze afterwards? And it turned out we were spot on when we got the actual food sensitivity results.
That's so cool. And that's where you can use it together, too. If you do a test and then you're doing your own at home, it's kind of like you can compare the two and see which ones are, you know, see how it matches up. I think that's so cool. And I know years ago, I guess it was like maybe 4 or 5 years ago, I had a guy that came into my practice and he wanted to interview me because of the school system. You know, they were putting a lot of kids into like after school basketball camps and things like that to let them work off all this excess energy, which, you know, that's a good thing. But he was trying to figure out, well, why? Or is there such a high prevalence of like ADHD and compared to where it was before? And I was, you know, talking about the actual foods, because when you think about it, we have been so sold on having our cereals in the morning, right? And our Fruity Pebbles and all the things that are fruit, and but they're not really fruit, right? It's all processed stuff. And so, especially kids, it's the easiest way to get them out the door. It's like, here, have some cereal. And there's good cereal out there, but there's also just cereal that is completely loaded with so much stuff that their livers, the little livers, are having to detox it, and their brains are having to, like, deal with the sugar rushes and stuff like that. So even for a parent to just take away one thing, they don't have to take away a lot, just one thing, the cereal in the morning, and substitute it with just maybe some fruit and protein and see how the behavior changes in a child, that's a huge thing right there. Or the red dyes, that was another thing that they were linking to ADHD and ADD. And then when you take away those things, all of a sudden the brain starts to just kind of calm itself down. So it's really, really amazing how important the food that we put in our bodies really affect us emotionally and physically. And you just have to tune in to your body's voice, because your body will tell you. And the plan, when you do a proper elimination diet, it really tells you that. Or if people like to do food sensitivity, we do send those anywhere. So they're something that we can actually send out, and I'll go over the results with you. I like both. I don't have a problem with them now that I'm confident in the labs. I'm like really confident in the labs. I see really great results with them as well. So I'm kind of good with however the person wants to go. And so really, you know, to wrap it up, really, the 21-day elimination diet is just a journey of just self-discovery. And you're not going to, you know, it's not like you're just changing things on your plate. You're really going to be changing how your body feels, how your mind functions, and how your spirit, like, thrives during that time. And it's, you think of it like, okay, I'm going to reset myself for inflammation, for having fatigue, for having food confusion, you know, where you just don't know, like, you know when you eat something, but you're like, I'm feeling off, but I don't know why. It's going to fix that. And you have to remember, it's not forever. It's used just for clarity. And after 3 weeks, you're going to know what foods actually fuel you and what foods actually drain you. So, you know, that's what I wanted to wrap it up with. But I also want to tell, oh, I was going to say this too. if you are looking to do supplements while you're doing a food elimination diet, especially if you're with Zuma, you might want to look at certain things like the Zyme 365, because we're going to start working on the gut, because even though you're eating all these healthy foods, you've got to absorb what you're eating. And, you know, the Zyme 365, it's just a gut-healthy beverage, and it contains not it contains like prebiotic fiber. It is also has a probiotic strain. It helps build a really good bug in our body called Akkermansia, which helps the Akkermansia bug feeds on our stomach lining, right, and keeps us with a great stomach barrier, which is what we need, especially as we try to absorb our foods and everything. And, you know, and when you think about it, too, it fits an elimination diet because it's reducing the gut load. So you don't have any trigger foods, and then you're giving your microbiome a chance to reset, and then you're adding in this really gentle gut support formula with the prebiotics and then also the probiotics, and it's just going to support your digestion while you're going through your, you know, kind of a detoxification. And then probiotics, obviously, because when you think about prebiotics, that's like the that's like a fertilizer. It kind of gets the gut set up for the probiotics. And we have a great one I helped design, actually, with probiotics. And it's a multi-strain probiotic with like 30 billion CFUs. It also has the prebiotic fiber in there. And it's just going to restore that really good bacteria. And because you're removing the foods that could cause an issue, then you're building up your gut during this time. That is just a great combination. So you want to add those two in. And then Assimilator is our digestive enzyme. You got to have that because some people, as we age, we can lose the ability to digest the foods that we once could digest. So this is just going to help during an elimination diet because you're going to be eating more whole foods, more vegetables, more lean proteins. And some of this, you know, these require more digestive support than the processed foods did because it's already processed. So your body's actually going to have to do its job and process the good foods that you're eating. And that's where Assimilator comes in because that's just going to really reduce that digestive stress. And it's going to improve the nutrient absorption. And this is really important because you're being very intentional with your food, so you want to get everything from it. And it's going to reduce inflammation from those, like, poorly digested meals that just sit on your stomach. So that's a good one. So I think that, yeah. Oh, and the omega-3 75. I think that's a great one, too, because one of your goals for your elimination diet is to reduce inflammation, and you're going to support cellular repair. So when you use the omegas, they're well known, right, for their anti-inflammatory actions. They support, like, your cell membranes. They help with your brain health and just your metabolic health in general. So you can use that and then put, you know, obviously our X2O sachets, which I love those things because you're getting hydrated, you're getting the trace minerals, and you're setting yourself up with a foundation. That's a foundational product because if you don't have that, nothing else really works that well. If you're not hydrated properly, if your pH isn't balanced, if you're not sleeping well and you're under stress, when you handle your hydration and your pH, you're handling a big section of your health right there just with that one product. So I'm always recommending that to my patients. So I think putting all that together, you can do it. And if you, like I said, if you the guys need any extra support, please contact The Olive Leaf. You can go to theoliveleaf.com, and I do like a 15-minute free consult for patients to answer questions. And then if you want that food elimination app, we're just doing it like for the month. It's like 50 or so, and that's all you need it for anyway. You don't do it more than that. All righty, Ken. Hope I got a lot of information.
Yeah, so we covered a ton of information tonight, and this is an important topic. And the one thing I'll just wrap up our conversation tonight with is this. You know, we as human beings, we all have certain foods that we love. We all have certain foods that we crave. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with any of that, especially as we are entering the holiday season. But I think part of what the magic is, and this is what you touched on tonight, is understanding how your body responds to those certain foods, tuning into that, and knowing, you know, that there's ways to potentially get around that, whether it's through, like you said, an elimination diet, or just being cognizant of it and then supplementing yourself to kind of prepare for it, right? So, I mean, there's definitely ways that we can continue to enjoy certain foods. Maybe not all of them are going to be very happy for our body, but there's definitely ways we can at least be aware and minimize maybe the consumption of the things that we know aggravate our body. And then if we know we're going to be doing things that maybe are less than ideal or less than healthy, you know, keeping our bodies properly fortified from a supplementation standpoint can go a really, really long way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have so many resources, right? And I think that's the key, is to know that you have resources. And for those of you who are, you know, with the Zuma family, you're basically, you have this, like I've said before, like an arsenal of great products that you can, you know, help share with other people. And a lot of people don't know, you know, a lot of people, they just don't know a lot of things from the standpoint of sometimes simple things like hydration can really help change a big part of their life, and they just don't know about this. So you're able to share the good news of that, and also share, you know, it can be as simple as elimination diet to just change someone's entire, how they're feeling, how they're functioning, how they're thinking, how they're sleeping. I mean, it can be so powerful just from that. So I'm so glad I got to do this talk, because I love that. I think it's great.
I am too. And so for those of you listening inside, remember, if you want to reach out to Dr. Melissa or, you know, get more information and maybe some additional help from her directly, you can go to theoliveleaf.com and you'll find more information on her and her practice there. And as always, Dr. Melissa, I appreciate you sharing that words of wisdom with us tonight. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Have a wonderful week. Well, it's a weekend almost. So have a wonderful weekend.
Thanks. You too. All right, folks, thanks again for listening in tonight, and look forward to having you on again. Remember, first and third Thursday of every single month we do this. So literally 2 weeks from today, we'll be doing another great call. I encourage you to tune in, and more importantly, invite somebody to join you on that call. But until then, folks, take care. Have a great rest of the week. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye, everybody.